Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this gathering tonight. We just pray that you'll bless each and every one here this night. And we thank you for everything you've done for us in our life. And this coming season, this Christmas, we really come to know you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior more than we ever have in our life. And we ask that you bless those that couldn't make it tonight. That angels will be with them and minister for them. And we invite you tonight, Holy Spirit, to join us and to show us what you'd have us to do in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you praise and glory. Amen.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, y'all notice the title of... before I even get... Well, yeah, no, we will. The title of tonight's lesson is not that. It is... The title is, What is Faith Really? Faith never changes, you know. I mean, the faith of Abraham is the same faith today. But he's showing me some new ways to present faith to make it easier, I think, for people to operate by faith. God never, everyone say this with me, God never intended for living by faith to be hard. The whole point of making it by faith was so it would be available for everybody. I mean, really, that's what he intended. You find that out. He says it is of grace that it might be faith, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. In other words, it doesn't matter if you're most really intelligent or hardly, you know, your IQ is pretty low. It doesn't matter if you're good looking or not so good looking. It doesn't matter if you're born and raised in the United States or born and raised in Africa. Once you hear the word of God, faith comes, and you can live by faith and get all the promises of God, you know. In this world, you pretty well have to live by your wits. You have to live by your cunning. You have to live by your intellect. But I'm telling you, all the promises of God are free. They're all available to you by faith. So that being the case, would it be a good idea to learn how to live by faith? Hallelujah. Well, that's what we're going to be doing. And so I don't know how long he's going to do this, for several weeks anyway, enough that it justifies having a section in the workbook just on faith. That's what we're going to be looking at. We're going to approach it from a little different angles, I think. But the end result will be you're going to know more about faith, and I think it's going to be easier for you to get... How many would like to have more faith than you have right now? You know? Would like to have... You know, Jesus talked about no faith, weak faith, strong faith. How many wants that strong faith? Hallelujah. Well, that's what we're going to be looking at, how to get strong faith. Okay, Tam's got a little baby boy named Jonathan. Cute as a button. How old is Jonathan?
17 months.
17 months. Now, he's got a right hand, and I've got a right hand. Now, if Jonathan was here and he placed his little hand in my hand, it's real little, you know. Now, my hand can take a sledgehammer and still break up concrete if I had to. Jonathan can't do that. Is there something wrong with his hand? I mean, would you say that Jonathan doesn't have a hand? Mine is more developed. Now, see, Jonathan's hand is perfect for a 17-month-old boy. You see what I'm saying? It's a perfectly good hand. It's developed just like it should be. That doesn't mean it's developed the same as a 50-year-old man. You see? So we all have faith. Now it's a matter of developing that faith so that it gets stronger and stronger. So that at first you may be moving molehills, and eventually you can move mountains.
If you don't use it, it becomes dormant.
Sure, just like the muscles.
Actually went away.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that it's even important. You know, it can get so weak. I tell you this, it can get so weak it won't work for you.
Okay.
I don't know whether it really goes away or not, but it'll get so weak it's like it might as well have. Because it won't do you any good.
Well, I just figured you need more rest because I understood it one way, but
Let's find out what faith is, really. You know, if I was going to do the classic sermon tonight on what is faith, everyone knows you'd go to Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I'd say that's the end of our service tonight. I thank you very much for coming. You know, everyone goes away. Yeah, I heard that about 100 times, you know. And, you know, and now I said, well, on top of that, without faith it's impossible to please him. Thank you again very much for coming tonight, you know. But that didn't really help, see. And I've been asking God, you never intended for this to be hard. Help me. Help me make this simple. You know, I want to understand it better, and I want to be able to help people understand it better. You know, now here's what faith is. Faith is when you believe in your heart what God believes in His heart. That's really all faith is. Now, listen, let me just read this for a while. Before the fall, Adam was in direct communication with God. So he believed what God believed. After the fall of Adam, the human race was cut off from direct communication with God and did not know what to believe anymore. Man became governed by his five physical senses, and he believed what his five senses told him. Now that right there is what made man subject to the devil. Right there. The devil is a master of physical circumstances. The devil knew that he could manipulate mankind into believing whatever he wanted by manipulating man's circumstances. Yet there was something in mankind, even though he was cut off from God, there's something in him that knew somewhere there's a God. Since he'd lost contact with the true and living God, man began to create gods of his own based on circumstances. For example, y'all know this, ancient man knew that rain was good because it caused his crops to grow. Based on circumstances, he began to believe that when rain was abundant, quote, little g, God was pleased, and when there was a drought, God, little g, was angry. So man began to construct gods based on these external circumstances and began to worship images that he made with his own hands, and he offered sacrifices to those images in order to appease the gods. So now Satan had man completely under his control. All Satan had to do was alter a man's circumstances, and he could change what that man believed. He knew that a man's actions always fall in line or follow what a man believes. He was so successful at this that he got mankind to murdering his own children as sacrifices on the altars of these gods. He caused man to degenerate to the point that the religion of temple prostitution was begun. By that I mean he got man to believing that it was an act of worship to have sex with a prostitute, and by the way, male and or female. There was both kinds. In the temple, in order to show, quote, God, that he was thankful for the fertility of his crops. It was an act, you know, the devil got man to doing that. You know, let's go have sex with a prostitute at the temple to worship God. A man that believes the circumstances can be manipulated any way the devil wants. All right, going on. Most people today still believe what the circumstances dictate. Think about it. Murders are committed because the devil convinces one person through unpleasant circumstances that another person is the source of their problem. Therefore, to remove the unpleasant circumstances, one person murders another. Divorce is a lesser example of the same root problem. It's exactly the same. Abortion is another form of the same root problem. Murders, divorce, abortion, wars, fighting, jealousy, envy, and all similar works of the flesh are rooted in one basic problem, and this is it. The flesh believes what it perceives by its five physical senses. That's why the Bible says in Romans 8, 13 and 14, "For if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, stop right there for a minute. I want you to really understand that verse, what he's saying. He says, if you continue to be led by the flesh, you're going to believe whatever your circumstances dictate. As long as you do that, the devil's going to lead you into every trap he has, and he'll destroy you. Everyone remember, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you're led by the circumstances, and if circumstances dictate what you believe, He will lead you by the nose right into every trap He has planned for your life. He says, you'll die. You can't live like that. He says, no. Those that are led by the Spirit of God. Now, see, the Spirit of God is going to lead you in line with what God believes. Isn't that right? If you're led by the Spirit, you're going to believe what God believes. And your actions will be based on that. Then the devil cannot manipulate you by circumstances anymore. And I don't know whether you know this yet or not. That's the only weapon he has. Once you get free from circumstances, to where what you believe and what you do is not based on your circumstances, but only based on what God says, now you're free from the devil's traps. You cannot be controlled anymore. That's why the scriptures say in Mark chapter 4, Satan comes immediately to steal the word that was sown in your heart. Because if you ever learn that what God said is the truth, regardless of what your circumstances say, and you'll only act on the word of God, the devil knows if you ever maintain a lifestyle like that, you're unmanageable. He can't control you anymore. He can't destroy you anymore. He can't steal from Sean anymore if Sean gets that way. He can't kill Sean. He can't destroy him or anybody. Amen? With me so far? Quiet in this Presbyterian church. Hallelujah. Now, we read that verse again, Romans 8, 13 and 14. For if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, and I might should have put in brackets, not circumstances. Okay? Led by the Spirit, not circumstances. They are the sons of God. Now that son of God, there's two Greek words that are translated son. One of them means a child, about 5 or 6, 7 years old. One of them means a mature son ready to take over the family business. This word here is the mature son. It means you've grown up. God can use you now. You've learned how to follow His Spirit. He can use you in the family business. The family business, I like to call it God and sons. And it's in the business of getting people saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, getting them healed and delivered, and devils cast out, and everything about the kingdom of God. Well, once you learn how to be led by the Spirit, you're a mature son ready for work in the family business. Glory to God. That whole thing that I said there, that's why the new birth is an absolute necessity. There's no way of getting around it. A man must be born again by the Spirit of God in order to be connected once again with God. Without the new birth, man is still governed by his 5 physical senses. And he simply cannot believe what God says. If you want proof of that, 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man, you could say the unborn again man, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. It's impossible. Because they're spiritually discerned. See, everyone thinks they can figure out the Bible with their mind. No, you can't. It's spiritually discerned. It's not mentally discerned. Is it, Mike?
That's right.
Hallelujah. Good preaching, isn't it? But now look, even...
It is filtered to the mind through the Spirit, but it has to go through the Spirit first.
That's exactly...
It's not going to be understood.
That's right. But even after a man is born again with his spirit reconnected with God, if his mind continues to think according to the natural man, or you could say the way of the flesh, or based on circumstances, he will still believe wrong, which will result in wrong actions. That's why you see truly born again people all the time love God. I mean, they're born again, truly, and they love God, but they've never had their mind renewed by the Spirit of God to start thinking like God, to have faith on the inside of them, which is really just believing on the inside of them what God believes on the inside of him. So they still, from all outward appearances, they're walking by their mind, which has never been renewed. You can't tell much difference between them and somebody who's not born again. Okay? Now, it's Romans 8:7. Because the carnal mind, that means an unrenewed mind, is enmity, and that means hostile, against God. It is not subject to the law of God, and here's the terrible part, neither indeed can be. It can't be made subject to the law of God. Now, this is why Jesus baptizes our newborn spirit into the Holy Spirit of God and gives us a spiritual language. The Holy Spirit can teach us what God believes. God's Spirit to man's reborn human spirit directly. With me? Let's go on to the action page here for a while, and then we're going to get into it. Now, in order to believe in your heart what God believes in his heart, you first of all have to know. You have to know what God says. That's why the Scripture declares in Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." We all start out by believing what our circumstances have been during the course of our lifetime, and everybody starts off that way. I mean, I was 33 years old when I got born again. I had 33 years of experience, 33 years of living, 33 years of circumstances that I was living by. And I didn't know any other way to live either. And I got born again. Got baptized in the...
It's a hardcore world.
Sure, hardcore world. You know, and I didn't know any other way. Well, somebody said, well, you ought to read the Bible, find out what God says. Well, gee, that sounded like a good idea. You know, it's a good place to start. It really is. See, the first thing we have to do is to find out what it is God says about those circumstances. Now, let's stop just for a minute. Look up here at me. When I was praying about this, God gave me this example. Now, who can I use here? Okay, doggone. Everybody here is married. Okay, except for Sean. Okay, let's say, you see that thing that says faith comes by hearing? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Okay, you're not married, are you? Okay, since he's closer, let me use him. I don't have to walk around the table. Okay, all right. Hallelujah. Here comes some more folks. Oops. Come on in. Hallelujah. It's all right. Yeah, we're going. But go ahead and get you some coffee and cookies and get some handouts. I want to stop the tape for just a minute here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, I want to illustrate what it means by... We're trying to make faith simpler. You know, I know you never had any trouble living by faith. we're trying to make faith simpler. Let's demystify that verse, Romans 10:17. So now then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's demystify that a little bit. Because we started off, for you that come in a little late, faith really is when you believe in your heart what God believes in his heart. That's called faith. See? Now, watch this. I'm picking on somebody single. So, Daryl's single. All right? Now, let's say tonight that there was a lady, really attractive, knockout-type lady that come in, you know, and first, you know, single woman and sat right over there. And Daryl's over here, you know. Yeah. Daryl's over here. And during the course of the Bible study, you know, like sometimes people do, there's a little whispering between this lady and Tam, who's sitting right next to her, you know. So after the Bible study, you know how people kind of mill around and talk and everything. Well, Tam, see now, remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So to illustrate that, let's say Tam, she's been talking with this lady some, and she comes over to Daryl, and she says, "Hey, let me tell you something. This lady that come in tonight, she thinks you're good looking."
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now.
I think she is too.
Okay? Now.
There.
Now, if that lady's name was, if that lady's name was Jane, let's say her name was Jane. Now, Jane originally spoke something to Tam, and then Tam relayed that information to Daryl. Now, at that point, I'm not saying faith come, but information came anyway. Now, he might be thinking, well, Tam might have misunderstood her. Maybe that's not really what she thinks, you know. But let's say as the evening continued, you know, Jane talks with Pat over here. And after a little, and Pat doesn't know that Tam said anything. So after a while, Pat comes over and says, "Hey, Daryl, that Jane told me she thinks you're a really good-looking guy. I think she likes you."
That does.
Okay, now he's heard. Okay, now he's had the second witness. That's right. By, like Sue said, by two or three witnesses. I'm not saying faith has come yet, okay? But something's going on. There's a transfer going on here, okay? Now, after just a little while, you know, now he's still at this point, maybe he's... Now, of course, I know Daryl, he wouldn't be, but let's just say, yeah, he'd already been over there, but let's say he was kind of the shy type, you know, and he's still not really convinced. He still didn't have quite the courage to go over and approach Jane directly. But in a little while, Mike's been talking with Jane, and Mike comes over. Hey, pay attention. Mike comes over, and he says, hey, you know that Jane? She's telling me she's got the hots for your bod. You know, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, guy. You know, he gets a little more gruffer about this. You know, macho. You know, guy. You know, hey.
Don't dare old go cast the devil.
Okay. What I'm saying is, every time Daryl hears that, there's a transfer coming, and confidence is going to be building. But you know what? It really won't be faith. He really won't know for sure till he himself goes and talks to Jane. Now see, confidence comes. He hears and he hears and he hears and he hears until finally something happens to where he's willing to put action to what he's heard. You see what I'm saying? He's willing to put action to what he heard. Let's say he approaches Jane now. Okay? And let's say, in this case, because I want to make, you know, the right example. So he approaches Jane. He says, you know, they just start striking up a conversation. And then sure enough, finds out, yeah, she's been attracted to him and he's attracted to her. So we got a thing going here. All right, now, it's the same way. That's how faith comes to us. You'll come to Thursday night Bible study and you'll hear me say, Jesus loves you. Maybe it's the first time anybody ever told you that, you know. I mean, somebody had to tell you the first time. There was a time, sometime, that was the first time you ever heard it. Now, I'm not saying faith came when you heard that, but information began to be transferred, okay? And then later on, you hear somebody else say, did you know Jesus loves you? He loved you so much, he died for you so that you don't have to go to hell. Well, you've heard it again. Huh, information coming. Because there's a transfer going on. And maybe over a period of time, you keep hearing and hearing and hearing this. Now, you hear it enough, and finally, confidence will build in you to the point you're willing to act on it. Now, when you start putting action to what you've heard, you're stepping out in faith now. But to really know for sure, you're going to have to go to Jesus himself. You have to come to him. And you know what you'll find? Sure enough, he loves you. And you can be born again. Now, when it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, that's really all it's talking about. God, how many of y'all think God believes certain things? Come on now. Do you believe God believes stuff? Okay. I mean, you know, if he doesn't believe stuff, he wouldn't have told us what's right and what's wrong. God believes this is right and that's wrong. He tells you. That's what he believes. You know? All right. Now, okay, let me go back to the example. Go back to the lesson. Go back to the action page for just a minute. Okay, right below Romans 10:17, we'll read that paragraph again. We all start out by believing what our circumstances have been during the course of our lifetime. The first thing we have to do is find out what is it that God says about our circumstances. For example, most people believe they are either prosperous or poor based on the amount of money they see in their bank account. Or I could have said checkbook if you don't have, you know, or I could have said your purse, or I could have said your wallet, whatever you use to check where your money is, okay? You understand what I'm saying? Now, most people, if there's a lot of money there, I'm rich. And if there's no money there, I'm poor. Isn't that a fair assessment of most people? Yes, it is. Now, here's what God believes about your prosperity. 2 Corinthians 8:9. He wants you to know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells you what that grace is. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. Now, that's the Word of God. When I spoke that, I am transferring to you what God has already said so you can hear it and start gaining confidence. Faith can be building in you. Okay? That's how faith comes. But now look, God believes, the whole point is, God believes that the poverty that Jesus suffered at the cross is sufficient payment for the curse, and that heaven's resources are available to supply all of your needs. Why do you think, I didn't write it on here, but why do you think Paul in Philippians 4:19 said, "But my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory," heaven's resources, "by Christ Jesus." The price that Jesus paid is enough. It's by Him that it comes to you. Now, that's what God believes. All right, now, you come to a Thursday night Bible study, you hear me preach on that, which you've heard me preach on that, amen? All right, and you leave here, and the next, and you go home, and maybe you, and, you know, before you go to bed that night, your job is to write out the checks for the bills that week. Okay, and you get home, and you heard me tell you what God says. You heard me. I gave you a tape free. You know, it's on there. You can hear it again if you want to. But most people will leave here, go home, and if their checkbook says they have $100 in the bank and they've got $400 worth of bills, now they've got a choice to make. Are they rich or are they poor? What was that? Rich. She's got it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, because this, what God believes, won't change. He doesn't change. There is no variableness in Him, neither any shadow of turning, James says. The book of James says. He's not going to change. He's going to believe that heaven, that the price Jesus paid is enough to pay your bills last week. He's going to believe it this week, and He's going to believe it next week. And you are never going to convince Him otherwise. You can take your checkbook and shake it in His face and say, "Look, see, look, God, your word's a lie. Look at this checkbook. I'll prove to you that Jesus didn't pay for it all." Most people don't realize that's what they're doing when they're going around whining and complaining and saying, "We don't have the money. Well, you know, we just don't have it." They don't understand. They're still being controlled by the master of circumstances. And as long as He can do that in that area, or any area that you're willing to believe the circumstances over what the Word of God says, you're still going to be under His control for the most part. Even though you love God, even though if you died, you'd go to heaven. I mean, thank God for that. If you're born again, one of these days, you are going to be prosperous. God's going to make sure of it. Sooner or later, He's going to prove it to you. Because for all eternity, you get to walk on streets of gold and have jasper walls and diamond doorknobs and however He... I imagine He's going to make the new earth even better than the present heaven, and that's what they got there. Amen? But He'd like for you to get some of it now. Hallelujah. All right? Now look, most people will never believe that. What I just read there about God believes that heaven's resources are available for you right now to meet all of your needs, if you'll believe it. Most people will never believe that because they refuse to believe what God says about it. I just heard Him quote this scripture. If you brought your Bible, you can look it up. I didn't have it down here. I don't know why He didn't say it to me earlier. I ought to put it on the page. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Hallelujah. Isaiah 52, by the way, is where the Lord starts talking about, through prophecy, through the prophet Isaiah, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah is seeing off into the future. He's a prophet, and he's seeing what God's going to do through the servant, Jesus Christ. And I'll just start here in 52:13 to show you what I'm talking about. "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. And many were astonished at thee. His visage, or his outward appearance, was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." Describing Jesus on the cross when the curse come on Him. I mean, all at once, at one time, He had every disease inflicted upon Him that ever was, is, or shall be. All at once he had cancer, AIDS, leukemia, diabetes, everything you can think of all at once. No wonder his form became something like they couldn't even tell it was a man anymore. Leprosy. Everything. Plus, at the same time, he was made sin. All at the same time. No wonder it looked like some... That's why I think darkness, it says darkness descended. You couldn't see for a spell. It was more than man could look at. The only one that really was close enough to see was the Roman centurion. And his testimony later on was, surely this was the Son of God. He saw what went on. Okay, so you with me? And Isaiah is prophesying and telling about that. Now, here's the verse that I heard, Isaiah 53:1. Just another way of saying Romans 10:17. Who has believed our report? Who has believed our report? When you come right down to it, that's what faith is. Will you believe God's report? That's what it boils down to. Most people will never believe that statement there because they refuse to believe what God says about it. But what they choose to believe or not believe will never change what God believes. I like to say it like this. What you believe about the truth has no bearing on the truth whatsoever. You know, you may believe that automobiles, you ought to put water in the fuel tank and gasoline in the radiator. And you may sincerely believe that. You know, and you go out there. I mean, somebody, you know, maybe you came from outer Mongolia and you've never seen an automobile in your life. And, you know, and then you arrive in this country and they're trying to educate you to our ways. And there's, you know, somebody plays a trick on you. And they tell you, now here's what you do. You take the water and you put it in this fuel tank. The thing that says fuel tank. And then you take the gasoline and that's what you fill up your radiator with. So you sincerely believe it. I mean, there's enough... The guy was just deceived, right? You know, wasn't his fault. But that's what he believes. So he starts putting water in the gas tank, and he takes gasoline and puts it in the radiator. But he's sincere, Daryl. Don't you think the car should run anyway? No. The car is not going to run anyway. See? But most people, they're sincere, they love God, but all of their experience... They've been deceived. That you could say that faith comes in Satan by hearing the voice of circumstances. Yeah. What's happened in the past, what's happened to others. That's how, you know, faith in the wrong thing comes. That guy there with that car could be the nicest guy. See, some of you think, you know, and preachers are giving you a lot of help, you know. Well, the reason you're not being blessed is because you're just not a very good person. You know, it's this and it's that that's wrong with you. No, the problem is you're putting the gasoline in the radiator. You're believing stuff that's just not right. It's not what God said. Only thing that you need is to know what God said and side with Him. Okay? Now, so step one, you've got to, number one, know what God said. I still remember. I mean, I was raised in church. Left the church when I got old enough where they couldn't make me go. Okay. Was in the world for a long time. Got saved, really, and filled with the Holy Ghost when I was 33 years old. And then, right around then, is when somebody told me, well, Jesus still heals today. And to the best of my knowledge, that's the first time I'd ever heard that. I had never heard anything like that. Although I had been raised in church. We all knew God could heal. We never saw anybody healed, you know. I mean, well, he could, but he just never did for some reason, you know. So I didn't know that there was a covenant you could stand on where Jesus would come and heal you because of a covenant. I never heard of such a thing as that. So I was exactly like the guy who's putting gasoline in the radiator and water in the fuel tank. I had received wrong information for a lot of years, and preachers helped me. With the wrong information. So the first thing I had to find out is, can you show me somewhere where God said that He will heal today? How about Jesus Christ? Now I did know from that church that Jesus healed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I knew that. He took me right to the verse that says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Whoa! Well, if He used to heal, that says He does heal, and that says He will heal. Glory to God. So faith started coming. Based on what? What God said. Based on the Word of God. See, that's what faith is. It's just when you start believing in your heart what God believes in His heart. Here's how you know. What He believes in His heart? It's in this book. It's called the Bible. He didn't leave us in the dark to try and guess what He believes. Here it is. He believes that the stripes on Jesus' back is enough to provide healing all the days of your life. Here's a good one. God believes it's in your best interest to forgive every person that ever does you wrong. Now, you don't believe that all the time. You don't know what they did. No, I'll be better off if I hold a grudge. No, I feel better when I hold a grudge. I feel better. Forgive them? No, I don't want to. That can't be right. But God says you'll be better off if you forgive them. You know, remember what Jesus said? If you don't forgive them from the heart, neither will my Heavenly Father forgive you. So y'all get that? Do you understand what we're talking about? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. All right. Romans 3, 3 and 4. Now get this. Let me back up to that paragraph. It says, most people will never believe because they refuse to believe what God says about it. I've read this paragraph a bunch of times, but it's important. What they choose to believe or not believe will never change what God believes. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote this, Romans 3, 3 and 4. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. What men do you reckon he's talking about there? The ones that don't believe the report. See what he says? What if some did not believe? Basically, they're calling God a liar. You see what, you know? They're saying, I don't believe it. God says, by His stripes you're healed. You look at your body and you feel the pain and you see the sores and you say, no, I'm not. Sorry, you just call God a liar. You just call God a liar. He says you are, and you're saying you're not. Same thing with that checkbook situation. My God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You go home, you check the checkbook, $100, $400 worth of bills. He doesn't supply my needs. You just called Him a liar. Ow! That's the truth. That's the truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What does God say? He says He supplies all your needs. What do you say? Hallelujah. Glory. I'll pay you later for that correct answer. Romans 3, 3 and 4. Let's read it again. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief... Now notice. Shall their unbelief make... Notice that phrase. The faith of God. The faith of God. Now what is it they didn't believe? The report. This Bible. The Word of God. And if they don't believe that, notice it says... They're calling the very faith of God a lie. You see that? Can you see that? That's what I'm telling you. What God believes, His faith, is in this book right here. If you'll find out what He believes and get what He believes on the inside of you, that's called faith. See, it's right. The definition's right there in that verse. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? What is it they didn't believe? His Word. His report. God forbid. Yet let God be true and every man a liar. God says that if you choose to believe the circumstances instead of what He says about it, you are the liar and not Him. Notice the phrase, the faith of God, in that verse. You can have the faith of God on any subject by choosing on purpose to accept what He says in the Word as being absolute truth. John 17, 17. Jesus prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Well, what can I do, Gary? I've been trying to believe all my life. What can I do? Well, here's three steps you can take. Take inventory of your life right now in every area. I'm talking about finances, healing, marriage, kids, anything you can think of. The first step to obtaining real faith is to find out what God has said on every subject. Okay, I hear Him quoting this verse. Hallelujah. I'm going to turn to Isaiah 49, I believe. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 49. We're going to look at kids for just a minute. Children. Let's say you've got children that are in the world right now. You know? I mean, they're just, the main thing on their mind every day is not serving Jesus. Okay? All right? Now, I want to show you something God believes. Okay? If you'll take this and start hearing this, saying this, we're going to talk about the steps here in a minute. Let's look at what God believes here. Isaiah 49, verse 24. Shall the prey, P-R-E-Y, be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? A lawful captive would be somebody that deserved to be captured. Lawbreaker. Okay, now watch this. But, thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. Why? For I, the Lord, will contend with him, that's the devil, that contendeth with thee, and I, the Lord, will save thy children.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Now, I choose to believe that. I choose to believe that. I don't care what my kids are doing right now. Thank God they're serving God. But I don't care what they're doing. If they wasn't. Let's see here. Even the lawful prey shall be delivered. And the, I don't care how big those devils are that are on them right now. The captives of the mighty. The captives of the mighty shall be taken away from them. The Lord, He's going to contend Himself. He is going to contend. Not me. He, the Lord, will contend with those devils that are contending with me. And God Himself will save my children. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, you say, but it sure doesn't look like it. Now, whose report are you going to believe? You say, well, I started quoting that verse and my kid got arrested that night. It got worse. Whose report are you going to believe? Yeah, but I kept on for 2 or 3 days doing that. And now they're talking about sending him to the penitentiary. Whose report are you going to believe? God said He will contend with those that contend with you, and He will save your children. Whose report are you going to believe? See, and if at first you're still standing, no, I'm standing. Well, what has the devil got? He's got circumstances. That's all he's got. He turns them up. Everyone knows that ever started trying to give what happens. I mean, it's always the same. I've never seen anybody that it didn't happen. Well, they finally make that commitment. They've heard the word. They've heard the word. First week they give that offering, all the bottom falls out of their finances. You know, that's the week that the washer and the car and everything else will break down, you know. And why? The devil is doing his best to get you looking at the circumstances again. He cannot afford for you to get your eyes only on the Word of God and start being led by what God says by the Holy Spirit. He cannot afford that, because if you start living by that, you're unmanageable to Him. You're useless to His kingdom anymore. Or whatever. Long story. We'll tell you later. I know about that one. After the tape. Hallelujah. First thing to do is take inventory of your life in every area right now. The first step to obtaining real faith, you got to find out what God said on that subject, every subject. How can you have His faith if you do not know what He has said? Go back to that example with Daryl and the beautiful Jane. Okay? Now, he could have said here, if nobody had ever started speaking any words, if he'd never started hearing anything, he may not have ever had the courage at all to approach Jane, see? You know? But when he started hearing what Jane said, and he heard what Jane said, and he heard what Jane said, and he heard what Jane said, finally it was enough to prompt him into action.
He taught you, Jane.
Yeah. It was enough. Well, that's why we make cassette tapes. That's why we make these cassette tapes. See? Because sometimes it does, I mean, you know, depending on your age, I mean, 33, you know, I'm going to be 50 next month, you know. I mean, sometimes we've had a lot of years of being programmed by circumstances. Well, sometimes it takes a lot of hearing what God says to override that. I mean, you know, I had heard for so many years growing up that to really love God, you couldn't have money. You know, you just couldn't have money. That's why most of my relatives still today that say church is church and business is business. Because they have to make a distinction. Something on the inside of them knows God doesn't want them poor. But the doctrine says he does. So church is church, business is business. Okay? And they don't know how to incorporate God into it. They'll sue you at the drop of a hat. Okay? Because they think, you know, that's the only way they know how to operate. Okay? Now, I said I shouldn't have, I don't know what to do about that. It's just the truth. I don't know what else to do. God does. I had that kind of stuff in me so strong, though, that God did not want you to have the money. That's why he made me, and I say made me. And you know why? Because I kept praying in other tongues. I didn't know it, but when I was praying in other tongues, I was probably going, you know, without knowing. And that's why God gives us that tongue, so it'll bypass our flaky brain, you know. And so my brain's thinking, God don't want me to have any money, you know. And my spirit man, who's in contact now with the Holy Ghost, he's praying all the time. God, straighten this guy out. He doesn't understand that Jesus bore his poverty so he could be rich. He doesn't know it, Father. Straighten him out, you know. And tear down that stronghold. So finally, God gave me instructions, and he says, boy, find you about four verses. Get yourself off by yourself and say those verses 4 hours a day. Say them. Just say them and say them and say them. What was I doing? Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And it was just like the Word was a hammer, and it's pounding on that rock of unbelief that's on the inside of me. And bam, you know, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. And immediately the thought, as soon as I'd quit, no, he didn't. Yes, but my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Look at your checkbook. But my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You're behind on your rent. But my God shall supply all of my need 4 hours a day. 4 hours a day. Till finally that sledgehammer busted through and revelation came. And it dawned on me. Finally, the light, the day star, rose in my heart. God is rich. He wants his kids to be too. And Jesus paid the price for me to have it. If God liked poverty so much, why doesn't he live in it himself? He walks on streets of gold. He has jasper walls, diamond doorknobs. Gates made out of a single pearl. That's quite an oyster. You know, my Bible says to imitate God. Let's go for some of that. Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying? It took a while, though, to penetrate. Faith had to come and come and come by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. 4 hours a day in my case. Hallelujah. Man, that's why people that are afflicted with a really terminal type dangerous disease like cancer, if they'll take the Word of God, start walking the floor. I know of one case where the lady had been sent home to die. Her body was full of cancer from the bottom of her feet to the top of her head. The doctors gave her no hope at all. Her name was Holda. And Norval Hayes called her Holda with no hope and no hair. And the reason for that, she'd already been through all the chemotherapy. She'd already been through all the radiation. She'd lost all the hair off of her head. And that she wasn't better. And the doctors just sent her home to die. There was nowhere to operate. The cancer was all through her body. There was nothing they could do. Norval started teaching her the principles of this lesson tonight. He said, Holda, you don't have to die. Look at this. Jesus is a healer. He took on his back stripes 2,000 years ago. He already took your cancer then, so you don't have to have it now. And he says, Holda, if you'll start saying that and saying that, you'll be hearing that and hearing by the Word of God, God's own faith will come into you and drive that cancer out. So she started doing it. I'll live and not die. Cancer, I curse you at the root. Cancer, you will never kill me. No, Jesus took my cancer, bore my cancer on that cross 2,000 years ago. I don't have to have cancer, and I will not have cancer. Cancer, I'm talking to you. Jesus said I could talk to the mountain and you'd move into the sea. Cancer, you get out of my body. You will never kill me. One night she carried around one of those little clickers, you know, that counts. Every time you say it, you know, she counted. Every time she said it, just curious. One night, 690 times. Now, when you're dealing with a life and death situation like cancer, and you're in the last stages, you don't have time to mess around. You know, most of us, we try and get in our 5 minutes a day confessing the Word, you know. with something that you've been 30 years developing, a mindset that's opposite to what God says about it? Well, 5 minutes a day, that ought to overcome 33 years. No, it won't either. Probably won't. With me, 4 hours a day, every day. How long? Till it got broke. Till I busted through. Suddenly I could believe. Faith had come. I suddenly believed what God believed. Then it started working for me. Hallelujah. 2 years. Y'all realize yesterday, the fourth, is 2 years since Sue or I, either one, had a secular job of any kind? We have yet to ever take up an offering. We have yet to ever sell a tape. By the way, I was curious. We've sent out, either through here or in the mail, nearly 2,000 tapes. Paid for them all. Paid the postage. Bought the labels. You know what I'm saying? We have yet to ever sell one. We don't even put in return envelopes. Why is it working for you, Brother Gary? I believe about that what God believes about it. Faith has come. And I'll be having my needs met the next time you see me. And then by then, I'll have enough surplus, I can help you. Good, Mike says, hallelujah. And that's the truth, because the Lord's already told me. This ministry will eventually be like a tree of refuge, and people can come and stand under the shade of it and get refreshed. That tells me there's going to be an overflow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? Sue likes to give. So do I. Hallelujah. But isn't that something? 2 years. Was it scary in the beginning? Both of us expected to die every month. I mean, you know, I remember one day Sue looked at me and kind of batted her eyes a little bit and said, "It's been 6 months, and we're not dead. And we're not living under a bridge, and we're still got the same car." And, you know, I mean, it was amazing to us. It was amazing. But He's done exactly what He said He'd do. God believes what He says. He does what He says. If you believe it and act on it. Isn't that something? Can't be that simple. It's exactly that simple. It's exactly that simple. Steps. How to get there. Action. Take inventory of your life right now in every area. The first step to obtaining real faith is to find out what God has said on every subject. How can you have His faith if you do not know what He said? That's absolutely impossible. Most people do not really have so much of a lack of faith problem as they have a lack of the word problem. They just don't know what God says. They have no faith because, they have no faith because they simply do not know what God has said. In Proverbs, it's stated like this, "My people perish." No. Is it Hosea? Anyway, one of the prophets. "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." They just flat perish. Many people today perished. I mean, you know, they give those statistics. How many people die in a day? A lot of people died today. Born-again people died today because they don't know. No, they don't know that Jesus is a healer. They just perished for lack of knowledge. They don't know it. Some of them were never told it. Some of them were told it, but they never really believed it. But for one reason or another, there was no telling how many hundreds or thousands of people today that died of some disease that Jesus has already paid the price for them to be healed simply because they don't know. They just don't have knowledge. So they were destroyed. I'd say the majority of Christians in this city are having trouble paying their bills tonight because they really don't know that their God will supply all of their need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus if they'll believe it and act on it. Come on in. Hallelujah. Okay. Here's three things that can help. Number one, check your present circumstances against what God says about them in the Word. Find out what God says about your prosperity, for example, your health, your peace of mind, your joy. Make up your mind that what He has said about it is the truth, regardless of your present circumstances. Tam, do you have your Charles Capps book in the front of that? The white one? Howdy. You know those little booklets that I handed out? Let's just take a few of these. Hallelujah. Since everybody can relate to money, let's look at that one real quick. This is a book for benefit of the tape. It's a little mini book, costs about a dollar at any good Christian bookstore, called God's Creative Power. And it's by Charles Capps. It's about 5 inches by 2.5 to 3 inches, and it's about a dollar. If in your area, if you're listening to my voice by tape, and you're in an area where you cannot find that book for sale, if you'll write Gary Carpenter Ministries, Post Office Box 9667, Tulsa, Oklahoma, zip code 74157, and ask for it, I'll send you one free. And all your relatives. Just ask for it. I can afford it. You know why? My God supplies all of my need, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What He has asked me to do, He pays the bills for. Glory to God. It'll be that way the next time you see me, too. Why? Because I can have what I say. I found out I can. Oh. Charles Capps. Glory to God. I'm glad I found it out. Hallelujah. Glory. Let's look at... Where are these? Hallelujah. For material needs. This is on page 17 of that book. For material needs, confess these 3 times a day until they're manifest. And here's one. It says, Christ, now these are based on scriptures. This confession here is based on Galatians 3:13 and Deuteronomy 28. Now, for example, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Let's stop right there for a minute. Mike, is there any curses on you?
No.
Has Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law?
I live by grace.
Okay, hang on here a minute. All right. Christ has redeemed me from poverty. Randy, has Christ redeemed you from poverty?
Mm-hmm.
Now, redeemed means you don't have it anymore, right? So there's no poverty, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're in agreement here.
Yeah.
All right, hallelujah. Christ has redeemed me from sickness. Do you ever have any headaches? You know why I picked it. I'm trying to help you. Let's see now. Say this after me. Christ has
redeemed me.
From sickness. So let's see now. If pain was to come in your head, then what would you say?
Christ has redeemed me from sin.
Hallelujah! You got it. Glory to God. Now, wait a minute. Now, the pain, though, if you really had pain, then you couldn't say, Christ has redeemed me from sickness, could you?
Yes, I sure could.
Hallelujah. All right. You got it here. Now, of course, I don't know why this came out to you. Christ has redeemed me from spiritual death. Are you born again?
I'm born again.
Wait a minute. A lot of the preachers I know, they'd take one look at you and they'd say, well, that's short hair, and there's no bun. Why, you can't be saved. You know, you still have eternal death.
And you're wearing pants.
And you're wearing pants to a service.
Mm-hmm.
Why, you can't have eternal life. Now, what would you say in the face of that?
So God has redeemed me.
He's redeemed you from spiritual death. Hallelujah.
I will not be divided from my Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, see, this is what you got to start doing. Okay, here's one for Sandra. All we're doing is saying what God says. See what He says? For poverty, He has given me wealth. That's all. For poverty, He's given me wealth. Okay, so if I come up and asked you, I said, are you poor?
No.
Are you wealthy?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because
He gave it to you?
Because I have money.
Because He gave it to you, right? But now, wait a minute. What if I happen to be at your house tomorrow and it's bill paying day? And I just happen to notice, you know, that you're paying, you need to pay $300 worth of bills.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happen to take a glance, I'm peeking and I see you got $80 in your checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
Then I could come up to you. Now then, based on that, then I could come up and say, you're poor, aren't you?
Because
mm-hmm. What would you say?
Because I'd say no, because my God takes care of my needs. My needs.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See?
I'd slap you.
And then she'd slap me. Good. Hallelujah. and quit looking in my checkbook, too, by the way. Hallelujah. Are y'all seeing how this works? That's step one. So you got to find out what God said. And in step two here, begin to agree with God by saying what God says about your circumstances in every area of life. If the Word says He's redeemed you from poverty, for God's sake, don't be going around saying you don't have enough money. When you do that, now can we just read it like I wrote it? begin to agree with God by saying what God says about your circumstances in every area of life. Now get this, you will never succeed in life by disagreeing with God. Mike and I have had arguments. We overcame it. Okay? You know? We know what it is to disagree. Now, Mike can disagree with me and still get along pretty well in life. You know who he can't disagree with and get along very well? You can't disagree with God and make it. You start disagreeing with God, you've only got two choices, God's truth or circumstances. That's it. That's your choices. There's no third option. God's truth or circumstances. Make up your mind, which is the truth. Say the truth. Don't ever call God a liar again. Don't do it. I don't advise it. I don't recommend it. It's not a good thing. Been there, done that. It's not good. Get your mouth in agreement with Him. That's step two. So number one is to know. I think most of y'all in this room, you know, you go to good churches and you've been here and you know. Say now. Get your sayer in gear. Now, I'll be real nice to you. Now, I want to say this. If the battle, this is a developed art. Okay? If you're in pain, in real pain, you take your stand. You practice. But if it's too bad, you come over here. We'll pray for you. We'll cast that pain out. Okay? But we'll get you up and get you going again. The righteous man may fall 7 times. But, you know, the Lord, how's that go again? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. That's all I know. I've stumbled so many times, I quit counting them. Okay? You know? But, to live this life, you got to get good at getting back up. You just get back up, and you start again. And you go a little further this time. You may stumble. And you get back up, and you start again. You don't quit. What are you going to do? Go serve some other god? Where are you going to find one? There isn't any. God's already told you in Isaiah. Paraphrased. I looked around to see some other god. I found none. It's in there, isn't it, Sue? That's really what he's saying. He's saying, let me save you guys a lot of trouble down here on earth. I know you're building all these images thinking there's other gods up here. Let me help you out. Looking around. There isn't any. I'm it. You know? Now, you can take all that King James, and that's really what he said, though, isn't it? That's what he says. I'm saving you a lot of trouble. No, I'm here. I can see. There isn't any other God but me. I'm it. You might as well worship me. I'm it, you know. Hallelujah. Now, thirdly, pray much in other tongues. Pray much in other tongues. How much is much? I pray 10 minutes a day. That's not much. 10 minutes is not much, you know. Pray much in other tongues. I like what Mike said. I will give Mike Ryan the credit for this one. He said, your mother taught you everything you need to know about meditation and prayer. But she taught it to you when she taught you how to eat. The way you're supposed to eat, you eat a bite or two or three of food, and you take a drink of water. He said, it's the same way with the Word of God. It's your food. You read 2 or 3 verses, and then you pray in other tongues. And the Bible all through the New Testament compares the Holy Spirit with water. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. So you read a few verses. My God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that I through his poverty might be rich. And then you go, Quo mansito Christan de la brastore. You take a drink of water for a little while. You pray in a little while. And you let the Holy Spirit start digesting that food and start bringing the understanding out of it and putting it up in your mind where you start going, well, let's see now. Jesus was rich in heaven now, wasn't he? He didn't have to come to earth for his benefit and become poor on that cross for his benefit. No, must have been for me. He doesn't want me poor, does he? See, pretty soon the light starts dawning. That's what happened to me. I mean, I'm at the point now, I'm embarrassed. I mean, if Jesus went to all that trouble, let me ask you something. If I was to buy Brandon a brand, what kind of car you like, really like?
Don't ask.
What kind do you like?
You ask me, I'll tell you what kind. Like a full-size Chevy truck.
Full-size Chevy truck. Okay, and I come over, and I found out that Brandon wants a full-size Chevy truck. I go buy him a brand new one. What color?
Black.
Hallelujah. Go get him one of them boss black ones, you know, with the wheels just like he likes and everything. And I just give it to him because I love old Brandon, you know. And I pay the taxes and I pay the tag and the whole bit. And I say, there you go, it's yours. And he said, you know, he tells me that he appreciates it. But I noticed driving by 33rd West Avenue every day that the truck's just sitting in the driveway. And I say, well, you know, he must just be home today. And then the next day, the truck's just sitting in the driveway. And then the next day, the truck's just sitting in the driveway. You know, I'm going to start wondering after a little while. You know, I wonder if he really appreciated that truck or not. You know, maybe he didn't just, you know. And I get to feeling that way about the Lord Jesus. I mean, here he suffered what he suffered. Allowed the God of all creation, without him was nothing made that was made, allowed himself to be hung on a cross, stripped of every earthly possession, completely impoverished for one reason and one reason only, so that heaven's resources could be open wide for Gary Carpenter all the days of his life, and I never have to go without anything that I need. But yet, I never take advantage of it. I wonder what Jesus thinks about that. I wonder what he thinks about that. I'd be embarrassed to, you know, now that I know. See, I'm accountable now. I know. I don't want him to have suffered that for nothing in my life. If he paid the price for me to have it, I want to have it. Don't you, Donna? Well, the only way we're going to have it is by faith. Faith comes by hearing. You hear what he said, you say what he said, and then pray in other tongues and let the Holy Ghost teach you the understanding of what he said. And then faith just grows up in you, that's all. The day arrives, you believe what God believes. And the circumstances don't make any difference whatsoever. I got a deal going this week. I'll tell you all about it later. I'm keeping real meticulous records. Got a faith project. You all know what a faith project is? Okay? Okay? A certain amount of money was supposed to come in by Wednesday night at midnight. All of it didn't come in. So you know what? I declared this week not over. It isn't over. I've learned in... No, it isn't over. Who said it's over? I don't play nine-inning games. I play till I win. I learned that a long time ago. Deadlines are from the devil. He's always setting deadlines. That's a circumstance. I declare this week not over. And I've already made my stand for the next week. And I'll have it too. This will make more sense later when I tell you all about it. But I've seen this happen time after time, haven't we, Sue? Deadlines imposed on us by circumstances doesn't mean squat to the Word of God. Deadlines do not change the Word of God. I'll give you the ultimate. How much of a deadline is death? Did it stop Jesus? Lazarus, come forth. Whoa. Even that deadline didn't stop Jesus. He doesn't play 19 games. He plays till he wins. Hallelujah. Amen. How did I get on that? What I'm saying, it'll get so real in you. You literally believe on the inside of you what God believes on the inside of him. When that happens, that's called faith. That's called faith. You can't convince me God doesn't supply all my needs. You could stack bills in here, around here. You can't convince me. You used to convince me real easy, didn't it, Sue? Well, God's with us. This week, we can pay our bills. Next week, couldn't pay the bills. It don't work anymore. You know? Word doesn't work for me.
One time only.
One time only faith, that's it. Yeah, it worked that week, but it doesn't work the next week. Do y'all understand this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's real simple. One, find out what God said. Two, start saying what God said. I don't care what your circumstances look like. I don't care what. And then three, pray in other tongues. Let the Holy Spirit digest the food. And bring that understanding up to your mind. The two keys, the key is with your mouth, two ways, really. And that's saying in your known language what God said. And then saying in your unknown language what God said.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's really it for tonight. If you leave here hungry, it's your own fault. For benefit of the tape, We got pineapple upside down cake. We got M&M cookies. We got chocolate chip cookies. Wish you were here. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.